Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and the Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. Thanks for joining us on Our Stories. We are churning these podcasts out now. This one is number 6. For this episode, we're trying something a little different. So Coastside News did a story on Tom Cox. He's a social studies teacher at CUNY Middle School, but he has also become sort of a Coastside phenomenon. It's true. He's beloved by so many students, many of whom are now adults helping run this city. And now Tom Cox is retiring after 37 and a half years of running the best social studies class on the coast, complete with annual trips to D.C. for the kids. So we decided, instead of just talking about him, we'd talk to him. And Tom Cox is with me now. Hello, Mr. Cox.
Hello, Daniel.
So before we get started, I have to tell you, seriously, when we started doing this story, it was stunning how many people on the coast side attended your class over the years and how many of them still remember it so happily, because that's not the middle school I remember. So why all the love, you think?
Oh, I don't know. I have to say, I love the kids. I mean, I love what I'm doing. I've been very lucky what I fell into, and I love the job completely. And the kids make it. That's the key.
Well, a lot of them aren't kids anymore.
No.
So I have seen former students everywhere. Like, sometimes it seems like you raised like half the people in this city. So everyone who you saw when you came in here, they all wanted to say hello to you. And then, for instance, there's Matthew Chittister.
Yes.
Who is now the city manager of Half Moon Bay.
And he played basketball for me, too.
He did. And there's teachers, there's business people all over the city who graduated from your class. There's my own son, Daniel.
Yes.
Who's about 12 years removed from your class, but can still tell me everything about it.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. And then, of course, next to me, right here, we also have Ashton Hackey, reporter for Coastside News, and another graduate of your middle school class. Ashton, hi.
Hey, David.
So, Ashton, you just did the story on Mr. Cox in Coastside News, and you're one of his former students. So I guess when you did that, you sort of got a chance to turn the tables on Mr. Cox in a way, because now you're quizzing him.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. But it was also nice to kind of have a second with, one of the greatest teachers you ever had, and just have a chance to, get that one-on-one, not class of 32.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
So, sorry to talk about you like you're not here, but but Ashton talked to so many people for that story. Could you tell me, what do they say that stands out about Tom Cox?
I think Matthew Chittister put it really well. I mean, after you grow up and go out into the workforce, you kind of, you have little bits and memories of teachers. But with Mr. Cox, that memory was always super clear. I mean, if you put me back in that class today, I wouldn't feel strange. It would just be another day.
Very nice.
Well, nice is the word I keep hearing over and over again. How nice. But I can tell you, there's a lot of nice guys out there and a lot of nice teachers.
Yeah.
But nobody gets this kind of reaction. Like, why do you think there's that connection? Why do you think people are like, 10 years later, Mr. Cox?
Well, I think, too, I'm not a historian per se. So my goal always is to make history something that students would connect to. So I wasn't trying to teach them like a college class or something like that. I wanted them to walk away from my class saying, God, I'd like to learn more. I want to know more about the Civil War.
So I was never in your class, but in my classes of social studies, what I remember is 1793. What happened in 1793? And how did that lead to what happened in 1803? And you're like, oh, God, hit me over the head. So, like, how is it different? How do you get people to actually like history?
We were always coming up with ideas of how to teach, or I always was. Like, I remember watching the movie Teachers. I don't know if you guys remember. It was a Nick Nolte classic from, like, the 70s or 80s.
Classic means it's really old.
It's really old. Right. And there was a scene where, you know, the main teacher is dead for 2 days, and the kids didn't even know it. they keep grabbing the dittos and sitting down and doing the work all day, and then they get a substitute for them, right, because they have to find a sub, but the substitute is like having all these reenactments, and he's got the kids, you know, acting like they're crossing the Delaware. He's acting like Teddy Roosevelt, like he's, you know, and the kids are all like up and performing with them. And that teacher, they come and they grab him and they put him back in the mental institution, you know, because he escaped. But the kids are like all loved him, you know. So those type of ideas, we would sit around and go, okay, so how can we now make the kids want to learn like that? And so that's when we're like, we came up with like historical figures. Everything we're trying to figure out, okay, how can we make the kids participate in
getting the kids to be history,
right,
to live the history,
yes,
is the idea.
And make everything kind of, you know, fun and but also learning. Like, it's like, okay, it's not just textbook.
So you've spent 37 and a half years pretending you're Nick Nolte?
Basically.
I had one other question. Let's just say historically, there have been a lot of first year teachers. They kind of see it as like, I'll go to Half Moon Bay for a couple of years and then go get another job. Everyone kind of moves on. But, you know, 37 and a half years, they have to get you out with a crowbar. Like, why?
Honestly, it was a fabulous place. We did a lot of changes. We put a program in Skills for Adolescents in sixth grade. I got to take over leadership, and that was and I loved that. So I did history and then leadership, and then running all the activities at lunch, the dance, you know, the lip syncs.
Well, you left out basketball.
Basketball coaching, right. Coaching.
Did you ever go home?
No, the thing was, and I told, you know, like one time they offered me the vice principal job. This was, I was like 29, 30 years old. And I said no in like 2 seconds. And my wife said, well, how could you say no so quickly? And I said, because I love what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I'm literally with the kids.
Yeah,
I'm with the kids all day. Then after at 3:15, I'm with them coaching. And, you know, I'm with them during the talent show with the lip syncs, with dances. So it's like, it's just, you know, it's just kids, kids, kids.
So one of the ways that you've been described to me is a very large kid.
That's what my wife says.
Yeah, I want to put on the record that wasn't me.
So just so everyone understands. One of the big attractions is the trip to Washington, D.C. When did that start? How many kids do you take on that trip every year?
Oh, my goodness. It all depends on the size of the class. We've taken up to 130.
130 kids.
Yeah. And
you are a brave
and
man.
And down to, like, you know, 70 or something like that. And so I went around the school, and I said, hey, Howard Clement, I don't know if there was a PE teacher who a lot of kids didn't know.
Mr. Clement.
Mr. Clement, yes. Kids did not
say Howard.
People did not know that he was an historian, that he is, you know.
Yeah, they know he's a Marine.
Right, and a PE teacher, in the cross country, but they didn't know that he was, you know, military background, history major. They did not know that. So I said, hey, you want to go to D.C.? And so he went with me.
Well, you know, if you're going to have 40 teenagers, you'd better bring a Marine with you.
Right, exactly. and then after that, the next year it was like 100 kids came. Miss Baker. And then it gets started. It started like,
look who's here.
It started blowing up after that.
So Christina Baker was on one of those early trips with you, and now she's here, and. And you're a teacher at Half Moon Bay High.
That's correct. I do work at Half Moon Bay High School, even though I usually see Mr. Hawks in the morning at drop-off at Cunha.
You drop off your son. How old is he?
JT's in eighth grade, and then my daughter's in sixth grade.
So, but he's...
he has JT.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
He's got all the eighth graders. It's a great class, right, Mr. Cox?
Oh, yes. He's in a lovely second period class.
Aren't you glad you stayed for this class?
Yes, I am. Today I started tearing down my room, so it was quite fascinating. Today was a hard day when I started taking the...
So, Christina, so you went on one of those first trips. Mm-hmm.
So our last day on this most recent trip, we were on our way up the hill to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. you know, kids are kind of complaining, oh, Mr. Cox, I'm tired. And Mr. Cox stopped everyone. And he was like, I was on a trip and we were walking up this hill and there were a few boys, I think it was three. And he just kind of saw them like sitting there and they were sobbing. And he was like, boys, what's going on? What's wrong? And they just pointed. They couldn't even talk. And they pointed to where the Pentagon was. And it was like so, you know, poignant for them. Like it was just a moment. That's when he reminded the kids, like, there's a lot going on in the world. You know, let's keep your head up. Let's look around. Let's pay attention to what's going on.
So if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it. So while you're here, why don't you tell me about June 8th?
Yes. Oh, Sunday, June 8th is the grand finale. That is the retirement party for Mr. Cox, celebrating the legend. It goes from 4 to 8. It's at the Old Princeton Landing. Thank you to Brian Overfelt for the space so that we could celebrate.
Yeah, he always
pitches
in,
as many people. Yeah.
I actually looked at the list. It's a real nice broad range of students I'd like to see. It means a lot.
Did you hear what he just said? Students. He wants to see students.
Yeah.
That's this guy. That's what makes him the best teacher. Because I kind of think he likes the kids more than the adults, you know?
Yeah. I get that one.
When we were talking about his party, it was like, what are we going to do? What do you want to do for your retirement? And it was like, oh, I'd really like to see former students. You know, that's him.
So we actually have somebody else has just walked in the room. You want to tell me who you are?
I'm Tim Lugo.
Hey, Tim Lugo. So what do you do?
I am the 7th grade social studies teacher, Cunha.
You are the social studies teacher who works down the hall from Mr. Cox. So you want to tell me what that experience is like?
Tom is always a presence, and he gets into his lectures and his teaching, and I can hear him from my room sometimes. It's like he'll definitely use his volume to emphasize certain events or things. And
oh my goodness, you guys are bringing out
we're gonna bring another.
I hope
person
you brought your daughter.
It's getting crowded in here. So, Gabe Glenn,
hi,
welcome. So everybody knows Gabe Glenn's a basketball coach at Half Moon Bay High, and his first basketball coach ever.
First basketball coach ever at
was Mr.
Bay
Cox.
High School. I think it was Mr.
And
Cox's
second year
teaching. So my first year of high school was playing for Mr. Cox.
So that made enough of an impression that you decided to go to state finals with your girl.
Yeah. I think I was coaching that day. No, but like at that time in Half Moon Bay, the basketball team was like the redheaded stepchild. Like they never had won a league championship, never done anything. 1992, I think we won our first league title. Then they won a CCS title a couple years later. And built like a program to now where I think it's probably the best sport at the high school.
Yeah. So he's your feeder school.
He is our feeder school. And so, and he fed a couple of my children, too.
Yeah.
My son, Gavin, played for him for 2 years. My daughter, McKenna, played for him for a year. And sure enough, the first time I watched Gavin play for him as a 7th grader, I heard him yell out, "Moon, Moon, run Moon." And I was like, I know that play.
He's still running that play.
Anyone
in the play. So, so is this guy a player? Like, can you shoot?
Oh yeah,
Tom.
Oh yeah, not me.
Not you.
So
he would play open gym with us all the time,
right.
And he could shoot the mid range. He was like a really athletic. You could tell he probably played every
and
sport.
And I'll tell you,
sure.
His head's going to lag.
Boom. It was a long time ago.
Tom had a swell shot
for sure. Yeah.
So. Sorry, but we got one more.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry about that. So, hi, you want to say hi?
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, there's Mr. Clement.
The voice from the past.
Oh, I'm gonna
see, even he calls him Mr. Clement. I knew.
Boys, on your numbers.
So all those years, all those trips to D.C., I know certain things stand out.
There stands Jackson like a stone wall at Manassas, and we would take one group of kids down, being the Union kids, down below, and another group of kids would be Jackson, and the Union kids would come up this hill not seeing the Jackson kids, and generally I had the Union kids, and then Tom would be standing at the top of the hill with Jackson's kids, and all of a sudden we would get overwhelmed. They'd chase us back down the hill and kind of a Monty Python moment, run away, run away.
Well, that's pretty memorable. Like if you're a teenager on a trip to D.C., that sounds pretty memorable.
But that's the key. It's like, you know, get them out doing stuff.
So, Mr. Clement, like if you wanted to say something final to Mr. Cox, what would that be?
I would say it's been a really great experience, both working with you and seeing you interact with the kids. And I love the D.C. trips because we got to see the kids light up and see that history, and they could see it and touch it and come back and tell us that it was really neat.
Thanks, Howard. You know, I'm going to say one more thing before we move on. His kids.
You're talking about Gabe.
His daughter, right? She, great basketball player. She was in my class, and this is what I teach. She looked at me in class, and we were studying, you know, the Civil War and the causes of the Civil War, and we were going through it. And she looked at me. She goes, "Well, Mr. Cox, I'm confused. The Democrats, they were all up in the North, and the Republican, you know, or the, I'm sorry, the Democrats were down in the South, and the Republicans were up North."
Right.
And she looked. She goes, "When did it switch?" And I looked at her, and I go, "Oh my, you know, that's." I go,
"That's a really good question."
We're thinking, you know. Yeah. I said, "Well, that's a whole nother class, you guys."
That's a college class.
Yeah, I know. That kind of, you know, great kid, always paying attention, always learning, and you know, that kind of, that's the kind of stuff you're looking for.
So we're gonna wrap up.
Okay.
But is there anything else you guys want to let people know? Tell me.
So. Everything Mr. Cox did in his life is a reflection. It just comes from a place of loving kids and, like, wanting to be a part of their development, like, whether it be coaching, teaching, taking them on the trips. And that you can't fake. And to do it for this long and to have the same amount of passion at this point is amazing. And he's going to be very missed.
I think everyone's trying to get you to stay.
But he deserves the break.
That was well said. Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
No,
thanks
thank
for your
you.
Time.
No, thank you.
Yeah. All your time. All those years. Thank
no
you.
No problem.
And that is it. Podcast number 6 is in the books. That's one for the ages.
You're crazy, you know that?
I'm a teacher.
And just in case you're wondering, that was Nick Nolte in Teachers, not Tom Cox. I have to thank a few people for their help with this podcast. First of all, big thanks to the Coastside Chambers podcast room in their Opportunity Center. We needed a bigger room for all those people. Thanks, of course, to reporter Ashton Hackey and editors Peter Tchaikovsky and Emma Spaeth of CoastsideNews.com. Thanks also to KHMB Radio, station manager Jim Henderson and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to Peter Finch and the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement for supporting us. This podcast owes a huge thank you to Christina Baker. Thank you. And also to Gabe Glynn, Tim Lugo, and Howard Clement. And yeah, Tom Cox too. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'm David Gorn. And we're excited to do this again in 2 weeks, Wednesday at 6 p.m. on KHMB Radio and through Spotify and other apps. Adios.